Hey everybody, it's Erin, your editor this week. You will probably notice that what we thought we'd do in the introductions ended up not being feasible, as Whit had to leave during the recap and couldn't come back. He will be back for the next episode, and in the meantime, we worked on something totally different than the training drills we expected. Have fun in the pit!
Welcome to Primary Attribute. We're a Castles and Crusades actual play podcast. My name is Ian. I'm the Castle Keeper, or Game Master as it's known in a lot of other systems, and I use they/them pronouns.
Hey, my name's Adam. I use the he/him pronouns along with Vons and other Vons. There's two of them. And we're just chilling. Nothing at all is about to happen, I'm sure. This is normal.
I'm Erin. I play Jesse Sweetbone Phelps, the Half-Orc Ranger. We both use they, she pronouns. And Jesse is getting ready to have a training montage, probably.
I'm Kelly. I play Wealthy Taylor, the Halfling Wizard. She is currently melded with Weldroa, the goo creature, and their portmanteau is Weldroa. They use any pronouns you want to throw at them because, you know, goo. And I use they, them pronouns. And currently we are, like everybody else, getting ready to do a practice montage, like out of the 80s.
And I'm Whit. I play Grix, the kobold illusionist / mechanic, and Steamboat Willie, the kobold college student / pilot. We all use he, him pronouns, and drill, baby, drill.
If you get a chance, you should rate and review us on your podcast platform of choice. It helps people find us, makes us feel good about what we do. You should do it for every other podcast you listen to as well. Erin, would you like to do the recap?
Yes, I would. Last time, Jesse, Steamboat Willie, and regular Vons went with Professor Jenkins to second base to build a transportation circle from second base to the brewery. At second base, Mitt was extremely in charge and is currently digging out floor 5 with X. We looked around second base to see what's up, and everything is like very chill and cool, and everyone's getting along really well, and Mitt is just totally on top of everything. Steamboat Willie went outside to practice flying, which was very fun. Once we got back up to the arcs, Grix checked with the other council members, specifically, Rachel, who does like, I think sort of urban planning. She is obviously concerned with the infrastructure, but also, recommended that we consider what's like how we're going to deal with populace. And then, he talked to Katarina Mulberry Farmer, who's leader of the Guardians, and thinks that drills for the outside militias and also the whole civilian populace would probably be a good idea for everybody to be able to get ready. And so we are planning to run some drills this time. At least I think that that's what we're planning this time. We just know that we need to do that at some point in the next few
yes.
sessions.
Vons.
Ah!
You made a horrible mistake.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You slept.
Uh-huh. Oh, it's much worse.
Yes, and not even in the fun, unconscious from various toxic fumes kind of slept. You slept like some sort of square. And yeah. So, welcome back to the edge of a crater under a steel gray sky. Lush valley stretches out behind you. Albeit a little scraggly, probably due to the permanent overcast, lack of sunlight thing. There's the remains of what you would sure guess for some of the original outer walls of the fort that became Arx Multimus. And you have in your hand a very fancy stick.
Fucking hate these gorgeous picturesque outdoor views of bullshit.
It has Zizzy carved on the side.
Well, the stick is nice.
And in front of you, I can't remember if you'd started down the path already or if you just beheld it, but what looks to have once been a stone path, road, somewhere in the middle, that looks like it was heading on, has partially sunken down into the crater, and you can see down there lots of water and open caverns and things like that. And this is a very deep crater. You'd guess it goes about a mile down.
God, this is actually hard. Across. I personally would love to explore that kind of thing, but we know he's not gonna.
Well, consider your other options. A vast wasteland where the corruption might be.
Uh-huh.
Or down.
Or down.
You could also try up. I don't think you can fly, but it's a dream. Maybe you can.
He tries up. Flaps his arms for a second.
Roll a wisdom check.
Wisdom check.
It would be charisma in most other systems, but I'll make it wisdom for this one.
All right. You said intelligence?
Wisdom.
Shit. Well, I actually rolled a 19, though. So even on wisdom, that's not going to be too bad. We're going to add 11 to that. That makes it 30.
For one brief, beautiful moment, feel yourself feel a little bit lighter. Your feet lift off the ground, and then you fall rather suddenly, slip in the mud, and fall on your ass.
Oh. Well, at least we definitively understand this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, we. I'm sure we definitively understand this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I guess we're going to wipe the mud off our tail, and that's a lie. We're just going to leave it there, and we're going to look for a goat path or something.
Like something has taken down into this space or something up and out of the valley?
I mean, there's got to be like some kind of not direct fall down the hole way down,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no, yeah. It's not a sheer cliff by any means. This is a thing that has crumbled and sunken and collapsed and slid and stuff over time. You are able to find an appropriate path, make a dexterity check as you start working your way down.
Got one of those right here. I rolled a 12. That's not terrible. Dex adds 12 to 12. That's 24.
All right. You are a spry little fox folk, and you manage to start working your way down there. It's not all, you know, mud and stone and depression. There's a lot of that, but there's also...
especially depression.
Yeah, there's also some scraggly plants. You get some varieties of, depending on where exactly you are, grass, moss, and or lichen underneath your paws as you work your way down. You, I imagine, kind of end up following some of the more abundantly planted paths because, hey, less erosion, less of a chance that something will fall out from under you.
He can't help but scoop up and save some lichen and moss too, right?
Sure.
If it's slimy. Maybe he just like scrapes it off into a pocket or something.
I was going to say, most of it's more springy than slimy, but you still find some good slimy stuff too.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can just kind of nab little pinches and handfuls of it as you go.
Don't know what that's going to do while he's sleeping, but hey, he can't help it.
Yeah. But all right, so heading towards the bottom, again, you start hitting spots where there's a lot of water. It looks like, you know, it's pooled in various places. There's small rivulets and waterfalls heading down deeper. And it looks like the bottom of this crater is more or less a small lake at this point.
Mm-hmm.
That said, there's a lot of caverns off to the sides kind of as you go. Some of which seem to be mostly flooded, many of which are not. And so it's just kind of a question of what you want to explore. Do you just want to get down to the water, or do you want to
He's going to take out? A second, just a second, to look at all of this stuff and see if he can recognize any of these holes, corridors, I imagine, any of these spaces, and overlay what he knows of the arcs onto them, see if any of it matches up.
Sure, make an intelligence check. Make a really good intelligence check.
He made a really good intelligence check. Do you want a screenshot of this 20 here?
I suppose I'll believe you. All right. So you go, and with a level of success that makes you think if you'd had that one roll ago, or a couple rolls ago, you could have flown. You look out at the crater.
It's 1 point!
It's a very important point. And you do a fucking VR visualization, beautiful mind, some appropriate third thing for the rule of threes, look at this space and overlay the arcs on it. You have spent a lot of time in the maintenance tunnels and a lot of time deeper than the maintenance tunnels, more than a lot of people. And while you can't match all of these, you can match a lot of them. You know that, you know, all your maintenance tunnels would be up here towards the top. It would get rougher and rougher as you went down. Obviously, like, the stuff around the core isn't here. Anything like that. But you have a rough map of where everything would line up. Although most of this is, again, would be by necessity on the lower end of the arcs. So you aren't getting, like, oh yeah, that tunnel was connected to the gemwood because that entire section left. But yeah, so if you want to try to aim towards a certain side or go near a certain thing that you remember being somewhere underground in the arcs, underground being relative, you can do that.
So it would be the underground specific. We've got a teleportation circle in part of the underground somewhere, right? And it's not like terribly lost. It should be findable.
It should be, assuming that section is down here, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, assuming it remains.
Yeah.
It is remain. Yeah. Yeah, okay. I got it. I'm too curious not to.
All right. We'll just let that previous dex check ride. You make your way along the edge until you can find a spot that you're pretty sure it was related to. And it is pretty dark in there. But you are a foxhole, can have low light vision, so with what light there is outside streaming in behind you in the cavern and casting a long dim shadow among other shadows on the floor, you start making your way in. It is pretty slick in here. It looks like it just kind of stays damp, like rain and stuff gets in here, but it's not in the path of any of the flowing water. The walls are pretty rough hewn, but you're able to still get a paw on them and keep your paws under you and start slowly kind of shuffling your way down. This is at a bit more of an angle than you would think of the space you went to as being, but it's not too bad. The other thing you notice as you go in is your hand brushes on some surprisingly hardy vines that look like they've worked their way in from the ground outside and are climbing on the walls and the ceiling. There's only a few bits here and there, but they are continuing as you go deeper in. Make another intelligence check as you go a little bit deeper.
Mm-hmm. That's 13 on the die and puts that at 24. Yeah.
Okay. You go. You are trying to keep a good image in your head of, like, how many paces would it be? Roughly how wide was this place? You know, roughly how wide is the arcs? How does that compare to this current spot? You know, how deep am I going to have to go to try to find some definitive proof? It looks like you'll have to go a good ways in. You'll certainly lose sight of the entrance. With that roll, you do find a fork where one side kind of twists off to the right and steeply down, and the other one goes left and is more level. You're pretty sure the left is the way to go. Continue a little bit deeper, and you realize something. One, that the caverns here seem completely natural. Like, no one's ever even, you know, leveled the floor here. Which, you remember that the place you went with the teleportation circle, like, it wasn't nice, but, you know, someone had intervened at least a couple of times to make it a more functional room, and so it has, like, a door and stuff like that. And two, you're pretty sure you passed the point where any fudging you were doing for the distance from the rough center of the arcs to where you should be, you would have walked past that teleportation circle by now.
Uh-huh.
You think that maybe this is the rest of a tunnel that was at least close to wherever that circle was, but that the tunnel with the circle on it presumably lifted off with the rest of the arcs, given that it was on the arcs when you found it.
So we're back to the theory that this is pre-arcs arcs, and transportation circle doesn't live here yet.
Well, there is a crater, so your best guess would be, based on some of these intelligence checks, that this is the place the arcs is from.
Huh. Wait, how's it from if it's here?
It's not here.
That's why there's a crater.
You're in a crater.
The arcs pulled up stone and ground below it, too, and it took off. It wasn't completely flat on the bottom.
Uh-huh. But I'm in the tunnels?
No.
You're in tunnels that are there.
You're in tunnels that would connect to the tunnels.
Oh, I see.
The arcs went directly back to where it had come from.
Uh-huh. So that makes thing as weathering.
Yeah. And say, the engine has been lifted out of this engine compartment, but you can see the various tubes and stuff that go to other parts of the car. in this.
So it's like I'm on the ground while the Arx is currently in the air. I'm in two places at once.
That would be your best guess, yes.
This is interesting and cool, but also stupid.
What?
Stupid in that Vons doesn't want to be there and is scared?
Interesting in that, yeah, this is like neat history stuff and there's goo everywhere, well, at least like moss and critters and stuff floating around, and, you know, ingredients everywhere. And smells cool, I'm sure. Actually, it probably smells kind of moldy.
But like in a cool, natural way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like urban exploring, one of those like malls that they shut down a while back. Yeah. Yeah. It's just slowly being reclaimed by vines and rats and
skateboarders.
Yeah. I mean, it'd make a nice, you know, half pipe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A bowl.
Yeah.
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 All right.
Well this is cool. And so this is roughly where the transportation circle would be. And we're thinking maybe we can land the Arx back in this exact spot. Although, doubt
as that. I said, you've decided you've clearly overshot at this point. So you think this would be the tunnel that connected to the tunnel's teleportation circle was in. But
yeah, so,
roughly, very roughly, where the teleportation circle would have been.
So yeah, so that means that, and so it's like a tunnel that's off of the bowl of the rest of it.
Yeah.
And whatever tunnel the teleportation circle is in was naturally made, although now it's been like carved a little more cleanly, manicured.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And somebody must have like capped it off somewhere so that people don't just fall right out of the Arx.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Or stuff shifted on the Arx itself later on.
Okay. Well, there's still all these tunnels here, and somebody lived on the Arx before it took off. Is there any evidence of that civilization at all?
Well, I mean, there's the big, wall that you found around the entrance.
Perimeter of the ground level. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. From what you know of the space, this is just to orient you. You can still look for older civilizations if you want. You know that the Arx was on Elandril and was a active, if remote, Elvish military fort. So they'd been there for a long time, hence the walls that have been built up and all of that. But you don't know of anyone that was there before them, which, as we all know, it does not mean there was not people there before them.
Mm-hmm. There's always something before the before.
Yeah. So you can go looking for that if you want.
He pauses for a moment to see if there really isn't any kind of like sensation of static or connection to the existing Arx in the bowl that he's currently in. I imagine he doesn't find anything or feel anything.
Can you define what you mean by that? I'm curious. Are you just talking about like vibes?
Yeah, vibes or ghostly presence or a tickle in his fur.
Roll a wisdom check.
Yeah, just sensory phenomenon. No, that's the wrong dice.
Just roll a d4. Your scores can make up for it.
Well, it looks like I only rolled a 10 on this, but a wisdom check would put it up to a 20. No, 21.
You get a little shiver up your spine thinking about this stuff, but you don't have any conclusive feelings.
So he manages to spook himself out a little bit. That's about it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Got to bring your Ouija board next time.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I guess all he gets to do right now is just kind of look wistfully at where the Arx came from, admire the history, and maybe scoot around and see if he can find any signs of previous existence.
Okay. Do you want to head back up to the surface to do that, or do you want to delve deeper?
No, we're going to stay at this level just about. Not necessarily deeper, but around.
Okay. So you're staying in the tunnels for a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or whatever the tunnels would have led to.
Yeah.
Or if they in any way like connect to any kind of surface. Maybe there's a sally forth or something like that.
I mean, I'm sure all our listeners already know, and I definitely do, but can you define Sally Forth in this context?
Yeah.
That would be like a, typically those were like escape tunnels
that okay.
would lead from more important parts of a structure to outside the castle walls.
Gotcha. All right. Let me roll some stuff.
Or a kind of weak comic strip from the 80s.
90s. I mean, that was the joke I was going to slowly reach for, but
yeah.
Okay. You delve a little deeper. Well, you delve a little further. You do find a couple of spots where, because you weren't super far down, so you do see a couple spots where, like, water's clearly worked its way down. You kind of find more big caverny areas where water's worked its way down and such. There's holes coming in from the sky, so there's a little bit of light coming in. That vine has stayed with you and grows more thickly in those areas. And you think you feel it shift a little bit when you walk on it, but it's a vine, so whatever.
Yeah, super great when the DM points that out.
Yeah, no, it's fine. You do eventually find your way up into a smaller... You realize you're heading back up again, and you think you're headed towards, like, the cave entrance. A cave entrance that's up top, based on your rough sense of your height. When you stop yourself from emerging too quickly out into the top of a large cave that looks like it's carved back into a like a big hillside, but your particular bit of cavern is coming out towards the ceiling, and so there's about a 7-foot drop for you to jump down to get to the actual floor. And you do see some light coming in from pretty far outside, but outside. And when you jump down on in, or at least when you look more closely, and then I assume jump down in upon seeing this, you see what look to be signs of habitation, albeit not recent.
Ah! Like, bits?
Yeah, you know, bits. Bits, fragments, things. Some stuff.
Chunks. Yeah.
Yeah. No, actually, you see what look to be a couple of very nicely made, if rough-hewn, if that makes sense, chests. Like, they're very basic, but they're stashed in a corner, and you see one of them peeking out from under what looks to be a very old animal skin.
Oh. Huh. Wondering if somebody meant to take this with them, or if it was intentionally left behind? Gotta investigate.
All right. You hop on down.
Please don't be a man.
You hop on down. You take the landing pretty soft. It's not too far. And head on over. As you go over to those chests, the light from the outside, these are kind of in a shadowy nook of the cave. If you're walking in from the front, it would actually be hard to see them because they're kind of tucked behind a curve in the wall. But it is enough for you to let your low light vision kick in and for you to see by as you yank the skin of the animal skin, the leather. It's a tarp. It's a fancy leather tarp off of
All right, free tarp.
Yeah, you get a free tarp. As you yank the tarp off of this thing and you find the chests underneath. They are not locked, and there appears to be no obvious trap. Huh. Not obvious you'd have to actively check for. I'm just saying there's no, like, suspicious rope attached from the edge of the chest lid to the floor, and then, like, looking up, you see a giant rock suspended over your head or anything like that.
Right. I mean, yeah, he is going to give it a quick cursory check, like you said.
Okay. Roll an intelligence check. Do not add your level. Because you are not a rogue and you're not of trap finding.
He is not a rogue. He does not know what he's doing. He rolled a 16, though.
All right. So plus your intelligence modifier, that's 17?
Yeah, plus one is 17.
All right. 17 on a prime.
Yeah.
To the best of your knowledge about traps and how they work, there are no traps on these things.
All right.
There is two of them.
We're going to stand a little to the side as we open these things anyway.
Always sound. Go to open it up, you see that the leather tarp has kept most of the damp off, but not all of it. There's some mildew on, like, the bottom corner that you notice as you're kind of leaning in and crouching to open this up while still craning away as far as possible with the rest of your body.
The hinges aren't rusted, that's helpful.
And yeah, there's not even any horrible screeching squeak as you open these. It protests a little bit, but you know, no dying cat sounds here. It opens up, and you see, what looks to be wrapped in various oil cloths, a bunch of different shapes, some long, some short, some heavy, some not. I'm going to make the wild assumption that you start looking through them.
Oh, yeah.
This chest is full of weapons.
Ooh. remembering he's dreaming, he's annoyed at how useless this is, but he grabs up as many good ones as he can anyway.
Roll 3d100s and tell me what you get.
Oh dear. This is the weirdest roll ever.
Well, roll a d100 three individual times and tell me each result.
Too late. I already did the button. Well, I can give you results.
Yeah, as long as you just give me the individuals. Yeah.
22 and 39. It adds up to 136 if anybody's interested in that.
I mean, that could be important.
Could be. Who knows?
What kind of weapons does Vons usually use that aren't alchemy specific?
I mean, historically, it's been crossbow and thing launcher. I mean, you never know when you need to hit something with a sandwich.
I mean, that's fair. Does he care?
So it's not alchemy specific. It can be culinary, too.
True. But he carries, I know he carries like kind of a utility knife, everyday knife.
Yeah, he does.
But does he carry an actual like fighting dagger or anything?
I think he does. He's at least he's used a knife of some kind in combat before.
Okay.
Not with much success.
Fair enough.
Like, it's not like he was trained in knifesmanship.
Yeah. All right. So when you're digging through these, all of these look pretty standard, all things considered. You kind of pick through for some of the nicer ones. There's a nice looking steel dagger. There is a nice looking steel longsword, but these are nice in a very military sense of the word nice. Like these are well made.
They're not display.
Yeah, they're not. They look very, very functional in a very good way for if you're actually in a fight, but not so much the display thing. And then at the, and then towards the bottom, you find a knife that has been, or a dagger that has been stored in its own kind of bag, different from the others.
Ooh, spooky dagger.
It's kind of a golden cloth. And then when you take it out, it has its own sheath with a, you know, it's a hard cured leather kind of thing, but with some metal reinforcement. And the dagger itself has a handle that appears to be filigreed? It has a metal inlay. It's like a dark wood with like a silver inlay and what looks to be a fairly, fairly sizable emerald embedded at the base of the pommel.
Dang.
Filigree would be neat, but probably just decorated. Filigree
probably. Complex. Yeah.
Is it complex? And is it? Did like somebody really put some time into it?
Looking at it, you think that someone really put some time into this thing.
Neat.
And so this is definitely a one-off and doesn't really match the rest of the stuff here. And the blade itself has a bit of a curve to it, but just kind of in the elvish style of why have straight lines and we can have elegant curves. Look at how awesome we are. But flashy. It's subtle. And the main thing you notice is that on the back end of that curve, kind of towards the base, there's a short section that is serrated.
Ah, this would be good for those times when I can't quite cut through a snake or thing.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I guess make one more intelligence check as you're looking it over.
Sure. 7 adds up to 18 on a prime. Not amazing.
Do you read Elvish?
No, I don't think that's in his list. You see some thieves can't.
You see some stuff that's, oh, that's fascinating, but I don't think it would apply here.
It's a neat idea, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to say, you notice some stuff that it's either Elvish writing or, you know, some sort of pictogram sign system, and you're actually not sure which. So you don't know if it's maybe a Elvish code thing, if it's Elvish thieves can't, if it's just Elvish but in some old style you're not familiar with, if someone just had a bad day at their calligraphy course when they did this one. It's hard to say. But
it looks mostly on purpose?
Yes, it looks on purpose. You just can't make out what it is.
Ah.
But yeah, so you have a fancy dagger.
Neat. Well, we're holding on to this. Get rid of my old stupid dagger.
All right.
It tosses that in the chest. See, thinks that might confuse somebody later, giggles to himself. No crossbow or anything like that in the chest, just all sharpened shanks.
When you check the other chest, which I assume you're going to do at some point.
Oh, of course. Again, cautiously, just in case this is the good one.
Roll another 3d100 and tell me what you get.
Oh, weird. Just 3 off of the last one. 65, 53, and 21.
In this one, you find bows and arrows. They are, you got your longbows, you got your compound longbow, well, one of them. You got your short bows, and you got your various arrows of various nice makes and qualities, as well as a couple of, like, heavy-duty, presumably waterproof leather cloaks. It's not really any of the kind of stuff you use. There's no crossbows. And leather cloaks would be rather large for you, although not too bad.
I mean, that could be cut down if you really wanted to.
And I mean, it would be good for blending in on the surface.
Right. Sounds like and he's already got a nice leather tarp.
Yeah. Probably be a coverings. Lot.
Yeah.
Do you want to take a cloak?
I don't think I need a cloak. Sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
But he knows where to find one.
Yes. Got them stored and, safe.
Considers to himself the advances that have come along since the arcs
the olden days.
Left. Yeah. Well, they couldn't even figure out crossbows yet. Does he have a crossbow on him currently?
No.
Well, no, he's in a dream. He doesn't have anything.
Usually you don't have your gear in dreams.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah, but you should be able to manifest them.
He couldn't fly. Why'd be able to manifest his gear?
That's true.
Well, may as well just, like, grab a short bow or something. All something right. He can carry and some arrows. Grab fine.
Grab a short bow.
This is all arrows. They got down here. This is so stupid.
The selection here sucks in this emergency cache.
Yeah, stupid old ass bow and arrow bullshit. Everything damp.
Somewhere an elven archaeologist has a single tear roll down their face.
Actually, is he cold? Like, is he wearing anything, or did he appear naked in this dream like I do in high school all the damn time?
In your dreams in high school, right? Dreams in high school.
Yeah.
Oh dear. All right. You showed up in kind of your basic stuff, the, you know, shirt and breeches or pants or whatever that you wear around day to day. Like, you have your belt, you have your little utility knife kind of thing. That's basically it.
Fine, I'll bring a cloak.
All right.
Stupid cloak.
You grab a cloak, you need to kind of wrestle with it a bit to get it to not drag too much on the ground.
Maybe he drags it on the ground for a bit and then realizes he's got a knife.
All right, you either hack the bottom off or you do some fancy cutting and tying so you can, you know, take it up a bit.
Yeah.
Casual field hem, you know, like we've all done from time to time. Okay, and do you want to head on out into the wider world again?
Yep. All yeah. Right. Yeah.
You head on out towards the wider world. You come out up on, you are coming out of the base of a hillside. Large trees are all around you. But you know where the crater is relative to you and can kind of poke your head out that direction. Make an intelligence check. As I imagine you kind of start mapping out, okay, so where am I? Arx was here. Reorient yourself.
That's a pretty good check. It looks like an 18 die. That's 29 on the prime.
So you're squinting around. You're trying to get a feel for, okay, where relative to this crater did I end up? And, you know, figure out where you want to go next. When you see, on the opposite edge of the crater, far away, up on a bit of rise, a figure.
Oh no! That's never good!
A figure covered in shadow that falls off it like smoke.
Of course it is!
And you're awake again. Congratulations, welcome back to the Arcs.
Alright, he's gonna have to change his bedsheets again, I bet.
It's only
a little
damp.
He doesn't, like, wake up with a magical knife on his person somehow, or bedstand, or whatever. Nightstand. Maybe under his pillow or anything. He's gonna check for it.
You're padding around for that, and while you're doing that, you realize you have some moss and slimy lichen in your pocket.
Oh, great. That's the thing that decides to... Okay, well, I mean, all the same, it's nice to have a snack.
do you eat it?
Well, it's gonna get a sample.
Take a nibble.
Gotta put it somewhere. I mean, all of his, like, goos and substances in his lab are filed by flavor.
The lichen you found tastes incredible. It's like this really complex herbal flavor that feels like it should be made of like six things and isn't.
Ah, oh, dang, we gotta find this again.
Yeah.
Probably but you have a sample. Beer. Yeah.
Probably. Alright, so you have
that
a sample.
Into, like, nice airtight jar.
Yeah. You put it in one of your finest jars.
Finest jars, yeah.
Because you got jars on jars. Alright. Okay.
The glass guy is furious.
I feel like this is a good time for Jesse to randomly show up at the brewery in the morning to talk to somebody. Oh, hey, Lucky, how's it going? Are you you ready for the drills and shit or whatever? I think we're doing drills.
Getting there. Getting a little bit of conflicting information. I wasn't supposed to do, but getting there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. I think we're going to be figuring out what we're doing a little bit, but yeah.
Are Grix and or Weldrua at the brewery this reason for any reason whatsoever that they could think of? Unless you want this to be a Jesse scene, but...
I didn't specifically, have an idea of everybody else being around.
Okay, never mind.
If other people want to be around, that's cool, though.
They can drift in.
All right. I am going to keep an eye out for Vons.
You're doing that thing where you look like you're really keeping an eye out for someone? I think Vons is upstairs.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll actually, go up.
No, wait. I think he woke up. He's downstairs. He went to the alchemy lab, and if we're lucky, he hasn't passed out again yet.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah, watch for glue on the stairs. He spills sometimes.
I'll go down and visit Vons. And be like, "Oh, hey. Hank, what? I guess
Who's Hank?
My husband. You met him. You tried to give him glue or something, I think. Anyway, he said he maybe could use some more.
Glue?
Yeah, glue. Because I feel like you were all over that.
Oh yeah, I got more.
Great. Hey man, how are you? You look weird.
I know.
You want to talk about anything?
About what? You want glue?
Yeah, I want glue, but here's the thing. I mean, I want you to be okay, and you seem out of sorts a little.
Yeah, I fell asleep.
Is that a bad thing?
Well, I fell asleep. I didn't knock out like usual, right? So it's it's a little weird.
What is that? What does it mean though? Why is that? Hey, man, speak on that, please.
I mean.
And Adam, I'm going to say, it would really be cool if you could tell someone about your dreams. Metatextually. Please, I beg you.
I don't know. He's cagey. It's hard to find a good excuse for him to open up.
Jesse's asking him directly, and it would be really helpful for the narrative if you could tell Jesse what's going on with your dreams.
You know how when you sleep, you get chased by things?
No. Tell me, what is that? Who are you getting chased by in your dreams, man? That sounds scary.
The smoky guys, the corrupted dudes. Yeah. They just, you know, how when you sleep, you get chased by smoky guys, right?
Where?
Everywhere. All the time.
City? Are you in the city when you're getting chased by the smoky guys? Because that sounds really scary.
I think it was a city. Now it's a hole. Several holes.
You're dreaming about the hole that the arcs came out of?
Well, that's a bit of a leap, but yeah, probably.
I mean, what other holes are we talking about all the time right now, man? We're talking about going back to the holes. So what other holes would there be? Right?
So are we going to be putting this thing back down exactly where?
Yes, exactly where. Yeah, man.
If it landed on one of those corrupted guys, what do you think would happen?
Oh, I mean, the corrupted guy would die for sure.
You just smush him.
So you're dreaming about the hole?
Pretty sure they can't survive a smushing.
Yeah, no, for sure. Are you saying you're dreaming about the hole?
Yeah, the hole and the smoky guy, and it used to be all about the water, the beach, and that was also full of smoky guys, and...
You've been dreaming about the ground?
If that's what you want to call it. I mean, I think the subject is really
What is that thing? And she points to the jar that you put the lichen in?
Oh, yeah, that was in my pocket when I woke up this morning. Either it survives the dream state and transfers with me when I wake up, or I found some good lichen last night and it just, like, I forgot to put it away, and I put it in my pocket before I fell asleep.
I mean, dude, I don't want to be, like, dramatic here, but I think you're dreaming, but when you're dreaming, you're on the ground. Can I do a wisdom check for the veracity of that claim?
Way on the ground. I'm dressed completely differently, and, like...
You can make a wisdom check, yeah.
Just to, like, see if that makes any sense to anyone. If she can think of, like... I don't know, maybe it's an intelligence check instead, but, like, to see if she can, like, think of anyone to tell about this. That this would make any sense to tell. Or if that's correct at all. I got a 25 wisdom on a prime.
Okay. Sorry, you were trying to see what Vaughn said.
Yeah, I mean, like, basically, like, does Jesse's idea that Vaughn is, like, dreaming of himself being on the ground and him actually being on the ground, like, is that correct in some way? Or I guess basically I'm trying to, I don't know, sensibility check. get like a does this make sense check with what he's saying.
Yeah.
Basically. Sorry, this doesn't necessarily, like, make sense. Possibly, sorry.
Nah, I just kind of lost my train of thought. So, yeah, you're able to figure out kind of what Vons is saying. Sounds banana pancakes, but your theory about him, like, dreaming of being on the ground seems correct. The actually being on the ground seems weird to you, like, extremely weird. But also magic is weird, so.
Sure. I feel like we should, like, ask... I don't know, like, Professor Jenkins or something? Like, is that a thing? Because I feel like Professor Jenkins knows a lot of people who...
So what you see Vaughn's doing right now, right in front of you, is checking his own butt and tail for mud.
Oh, is there...
Does he find any?
No, but your fur felt a little bit damp when you woke up, and not from...
Well, that could be for any number of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The confusion continues. But at least it's cleaner.
Hey man, I just feel like this is maybe, like, important in some way, and I don't get that impression very often, so I just feel like maybe we should, like, try and go find, you know, Professor Jenkins and find out what's going on. Maybe, like, he knows why someone would have dreams about the ground that are real.
Has he
been going on?
How
long has it been going on for, man?
Since season one.
Oh, so like months and months and months.
How many months are in a season?
Many.
Yeah, it's been a few. It's been a few solstices. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I think we should go talk to Professor Jenkins. You want to go talk to Professor Jenkins?
Yeah, let me grab some glue real quick.
Yeah, also Hank does want glue.
Yeah, let's get him some glue too. Here,
you. Okay, great.
Somebody really should invent a circular thing that you can just, like, attach a box to, so that you can, like, slide the box along the ground without making a lot of noise. Be great.
Like wheels?
Oh, right. Okay, somebody did invent that then.
Yeah, man, we've had the wheel for a while.
I could use some.
We don't use them a ton around here because of all of the up and downs and, like, stairs and stuff. But yeah, there's wheels.
Right. They're like gears, but without teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So with both of you heading off to see Professor Jenkins, we will just wrap up there and pick up there next time.
Okay. Bye.
See you later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Primary Attribute has been imagined and brought to life by the people you've heard. For more information about the podcast, check out our website, primaryattribute.com. For questions, comments, and feedback, email us at letters@primaryattribute.com. To follow us on social media, you can find us at facebook.com/primaryattributepod, on Twitter @primeattribute, and at primaryattribute.tumblr.com for all of our Blazed posts. Castles and Crusades is published by Trollord Games. Our theme music was composed by Aaron. Our logo was designed by Adam. This week's editor was Aaron. Thanks, Aaron! Thanks for listening, and we hope you tune in next time to Primary Attribute.